Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason. This is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Taking a brief break from the Year Interview series that will return this Friday with a brand new episode, because I want to talk about the AEW Continental Classic that starts on Wednesday, tonight, if you're hearing this, of course, on Wednesday. And I figured, who can I talk to about this? So I picked up the phone, so to speak, and I chatted with Mike Della Camera, who is an AEW columnist, a pay-per-view previewer, really, for this very website in only the way that he can. He joined me earlier this month for a deep dive into a bunch of AEW topics and all that. So I said, hey, you got some time? And he did. So him and I talked Tuesday afternoon for about half an hour about the Continental Classic. We looked at the Blue League and the Gold League. We looked at some matches we're excited about, who we think is going to win, semifinalists, all that stuff. It's a pretty fun tournament, and I think you'll enjoy this episode if you enjoy the tournament. So here we go. Mike Della Camera and myself talking all about the AEW Continental Classic. He's back, everyone. The one and only Mike Della Camera has returned. Of course, we talked about 3 weeks ago, something like that, for kind of AEW thoughts and kvetching, things we liked, things we didn't like, breakout stars of the year ahead, and all that. And I was thinking, recording this on Tuesday afternoon, I was thinking Monday they actually released the full field and the brackets, the leagues for the Continental Classic. For AEW, and I really enjoy the tournament. We talked about it on the podcast. I really enjoy the tournament. Mike does well, and so I want to get him on to talk about that and maybe any leftover thoughts from Full Gear or anything like that. So welcome back, Mike, and glad to be talking some AEW once again.
Josh, what better way to start this Thanksgiving week than a feast of AEW tournament wrestling coming up?
Hell yeah. Before we get into that, Full Gear has been talked and tweeted to death. And any final thoughts or anything like that as we bid adieu to the annual tradition that is FG?
We bid adieu to Adam Page's world title reign, short, but certainly an interesting decision to put the belt on Joe. Curious to see where it goes. I thought Full Gear was pretty good. Nothing knocked me on my ass, but wasn't really disappointed at all. It was probably a solid B in terms of AEW pay-per-views, but good stuff.
Yeah, I definitely was surprised by the ending. I haven't seen anyone that hasn't been. I think everyone expected Hangman to win, and I heard the point made that if he had won, then what? And yeah. I was kind of like, yeah, that's true. But then there's also kind of that, well, shouldn't there be something after that people are excited about and whatever? I guess we just kind of assume that things would kind of move on. But yeah, I was a little bit surprised, obviously, and interested to see where it goes. But I think the one thing I felt bad for Monet and Statlander because the time of night they went on and the reaction that they didn't really get from the crowd. And then, yeah, the Joe thing and the Hangman thing happened at almost 12:30 at night. And especially for an East Coast crowd, that thing had been the afternoon. I just think it would have hit a little bit better. I don't know. I feel bad for them because I think the impact in front of 10,000 people and it's almost midnight, I think it can be a little bit rough.
Yeah, and Statlander's local, right? That's a Long Island. Yeah. Long Island wrestler that's basically in Long Island, not really, but it's like 30 minutes away from Long Island. That's as close to hometown as it gets other than them running the Islanders arena.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it starts earlier, I think people complain much less about this, but 12:30 at night is a lot to ask consistently. And people bring their kids to this and we're old. Staying up late is harder. Kids are no kids. I know it's been talked to death, and I know it's probably never going to change because Tony wants to have all of those matches on the show. He wants to get everybody on the card and give them their time, and that's great. So you just have to kind of expect it.
Yeah. I just started the show at 7. Start at the pay-per-view at 7.
Start at six.
Or yeah, just do the afternoons. Just yeah, I think the length I'm okay with, especially after seeing it in the afternoons with those three shows we had over the summer.
Yeah.
That was great. And it's like, okay, you're still like with it, you know? And then but I think now having seen now goes back the other way, it's I like those longer shows so much better in the afternoon, just because the things that leaves you with aren't like, wow, I really need to go to bed, or I'm falling asleep watching this. It's you leave with just like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this for the next 2 hours, you know, and just leave right. Check into it and all those things. So, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, yeah. And World's End is going to be another late one, and then yeah, we'll see what happens with the calendar in 2026. So, Continental Classic, the bracket. I keep saying the brackets, Mike. The leagues. I'm so fixated on the lack of brackets, and like the last time is now tournament. Now we have the brackets and all these things. So we have the leagues announced Monday night in a very quick, I can appreciate this, very quick video. Tony Schiavone in front of the green screen talking about these two things and so on. So the Gold League, Darby Allin, Pac, Kevin Knight, Speedball Mike Bailey, Kyle Fletcher, and the king himself, the Continental Champion, Kazuchika Okada. The Blue League, Konosuke Takeshita, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, and Mascara Dorada from CMLL make up the Blue League. Action, of course, starts Wednesday, and they did all types of dates, and it's going to run through now through World's End, as it always does. What was your first thought when you saw the leagues announced?
What a lineup, honestly. An incredible amount of top-tier talent and a good amount of existing stories that are bringing a lot of intrigue to it, right? What's going to happen with Moxley? I think everybody knows he's been losing, sowing seeds of dissension amongst the Death Riders with two other Death Riders in the tournament. What's going to happen there? Takeshita Okada, that's been there forever. Kyle Fletcher and the rest of the Don Callis family, is this how he can splinter from that? And then is this really just going to be the Kevin Knight showcase? Is he going to be the person that he doesn't win the tournament, but he's the person everybody talks about coming out of it? I think that this is one hell of a lineup. There's no duds. And I'm really excited for the next, 6 weeks of this.
Yeah. So I thought in terms of the two leagues, I like the Gold League lineup a lot better. And I think I think the thoughts in the Blue League really hinge on your tolerance for the Death Riders and Conglomeration feud, which is, as they mentioned in the video, has lasted for at least a year, at least between, you know, Cassidy and Moxley and so on. We'll go through kind of each one. That was my initial thought. The Gold League, as I look through it, I think those matches are going to be like incredible, right? The Blue League, I'm warming up to a little bit. I think it just depends on what your temperature is with that that ongoing rivalry.
Yeah, it's funny they talk about the Death Riders and the Conglomeration feud. It's the Death Riders and Darby Allin is the feud that people care about. I'm much less interested in the feud. If we're going to expand it to include the Conglomeration,
sure.
I just don't think the Conglomeration has any juice. I'm sorry, and I like the people in it individually.
But Cassidy and Moxley have had their matches through last year and things like that. But yeah, I think it's definitely kind of the flanks of the of the groups are in this. So let's go through the Gold League. So the potential matches here. So we have. I'll read the potential matches and then we'll see what you think. So Darby Allin versus Pac, thumbs up.
Yeah, I liked it. Give me some more.
Yeah, I thought that match on at Full Gear was really, really fun. I think we talked this before. I'm really into Pac's new look. It's just a different presentation altogether, right? He's enormous, you know, bigger than he was before, but just the tights and the socks and the hair and I like when a wrestler goes away or he was injured, his case, and then come back like, I'm gonna change the script. I'm going to burn this whole thing up. I'm going to run and do something completely different. And a lot don't do that. He did, and it works.
He came back with like the biggest back a man that size could ever have. Like, how does he wear a shirt?
True.
It's I don't understand it. But yeah, new Pac, all in, always all in on him. Always want him around.
Darby Allin versus Kevin Knight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Darby Allin versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
I think I would probably hate it, but I can see that. I think people might like it. I personally would be like, I might hate that.
Why is that? Why is that?
I said this when we talked last time. Not a huge Speedball guy. He's worked way better than I thought he would in his current role. I'm concerned what an extended singles run might, and how it might lean into some of the things that go against my tastes.
Yeah. Darby Allin versus Kyle Fletcher.
Yes. 100% yes.
Yeah, I think that could be pretty good. Darby Allin versus Kazuchika Okada, which I think a lot of these are first. This is one thing we talked about that before. I like the idea of the reason I like this tournament so much is it's a lot of first time matches, especially when it comes to like this Gold League, especially Darby Allin versus Kazuchika Okada match. I didn't think I needed, but I'm very interested to see how it turns out.
As polished and put together as the entire Rainmaker gimmick is, Okada is at his heart just a giant weirdo. So I think that he will have a lot of fun with that match, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, and we have Pac versus Kevin Knight.
Yep. Yes.
Pac versus
Athleticism in that match will be preposterous. So yes.
Yeah. Pac versus Mike Bailey.
Yeah, I want Pac to stretch him a lot. So yeah, sign me up.
Pac versus Kyle Fletcher.
Yes. I don't know why it's such a my immediate reaction was a hard yes. I think it's maybe because like if you stretched Pac out a little bit, he might just look like Kyle Fletcher. So it's sort of like the Pokemon evolution of Pac into Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's do it.
All right. And then Pac versus Okada, which I think we have they done that before? I cannot remember if they've done that. Maybe not. I'm going to look that up real quick. But yeah, okay. I think at Dynasty 2024.
Okay.
Interesting. God,
then that does not exist in my memory. And I write about all of these shows. So bad on me.
Well, this thing is so much wrestling. Like you can't, it can't keep track of what we've seen, what we haven't seen and all that. So, okay. And then, Kevin Knight versus Mike Bailey.
Yeah. Tag team partners explode. I always like that. One-upsmanship amongst the team is always fun.
Kevin Knight versus Kyle Fletcher.
Yes. Here's the spoiler is every Kevin Knight is a yes for me. I don't know if that's been clear.
That's right. Well, that's your breakout style for 2026. See, and Kevin Knight versus Okada. I'm excited for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, so we wrap up here. We have Mike Bailey versus Kyle Fletcher.
Not really.
No. And Mike Bailey versus Okada, which I think have we seen that? I can't remember.
They were in a three-way. And yes. I remember loving it way more than I ever thought I would. So let's see what that looks like. Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
And finally, Fletcher versus Okada.
Of course.
Yeah. Who do you think?
This is a great league, Josh. There were not a lot of no's, no skips on this mixtape.
Yeah, in the matches you weren't excited about, there's not one here I'm disappointed in. I think, who's the job guy here? I think Knight or Bailey?
It's probably Mike Bailey.
Yeah, I think so too.
Pac can lose.
True. But there's always one guy that loses a lot more. The Beast Mortos Award, you know what I mean? Those type of guys. Mark Briscoe a couple of years ago. And there's always one guy that loses. I think Juice Robinson was tabbed to be that guy last year and then broke his leg. Well, let's go to the Blue League. We'll do the same exercise. Kenosuke Takeshita versus John Moxley. A match that I don't think we've seen in quite some time. I think Takeshita was first kind of like getting in the mix, but like way early on. There was like a Dynamite match. It was like kind of a not a proving ground match, but kind of a, you know, this guy is going to be potentially the future against the very present. So Takeshita versus Moxley.
Yeah. Final form Takeshita versus Moxley, who I think will tamper some of Takeshita's overindulgence, I think could be a really special match.
Takeshita versus Claudio.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Are you a big Claudio guy? I'm not.
In small doses, I'm a huge Claudio guy. The more I think he's great in like these 8 to 12 minute or tag matches, but he's not wrestling every week. Is my preferred brand of Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah, I was when I first came when he first was out for the league, I was kind of like, I don't know, because I just feel like we've seen it before. I think they, made the point. He's been, the most tournament matches, the most Continental Classic matches, and all that. So he's fine. Again, this just kind of goes what your feeling is on the Death Riders and all that stuff. So I wouldn't mind seeing someone else in here, but we'll see how it turns out. I'm sure it's kind of leading towards this eventually, Moxley exile. Being escorted out physically from the Death Rider, so I'm sure it's leading into that. Let's see, Takeshita versus Orange Cassidy.
Yeah. Not blowing me away, but yeah, let's watch it.
Takeshita versus Roddy Strong.
Oh, I'm a huge Roddy mark,
Yeah.
so yeah, like Roddy just beating the crap out of him for like 8 minutes straight and getting 42 moves in a row is something that I really want to see.
Is it safe to say your blood color is the red and black of Ring of Honor?
Yeah,
True and
that is
true.
my pro
Yes.
that is the type of That is my shit, as they would say.
Do you watch the new iteration at all?
I just don't have enough time. I
Yeah.
don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Takeshita versus Masakura Dorada. We're finally going to get the match that was teased on social media with a fake graphic years ago. We're finally going to get that here.
Yeah, let's get it. Dorada is going to be the Kevin Knight where I'm just going to vigorously nod yes for every match that you put him in. He is 24. He is 24 years old.
Yep. And again, why have Commander when you have Masca Dorada sitting right there? And they're using him more and more and more. And I'm sure they I wonder if it's a case where they can sign like a dual deal early. You know what I mean? If it's basically because with AAA being such a thing now, and I'm sure they're gonna be trying to sign guys if old TK talks with Salvador and says, look, let's keep some of these guys away from potential competition here and let's start doing more dual contracts just to keep them around, get them paid a little bit more. And I don't know, it might not be a bad idea.
It would be a great idea.
Moxley versus Claudio.
Yeah, a little Death Riders dissension. Maybe somebody gets like suffocated in the bag. It's gonna be John, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see when that match takes place in the term. I'm gonna guess it's probably a little bit later, to kind of build to it to being a big thing. Go ahead.
I do want to say I've seen some talk about how, oh, Moxley should just lose every match, and I think that that would just be a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Moxley can't lose. That's you can. There's a difference between having losing streaks, big matches, and big moments. Losing every tournament match and looking like a geek. Jon Moxley is one of the aces of modern pro wrestling and one of the more giving ones in terms of willingness to lose and make other people look good. But he's not going to lose. What is it? Seven of the. He can't lose seven of these matches, and he won't. That's bad. So
Yeah.
you're. Anyone that says that, you're being silly and stop.
Let's see, Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. We've seen this a bunch.
We've seen it a bunch. Let's see it again. Not gonna like if I watch that one while my wife yells at me about something, that's the most likely outcome.
Second screen it. Moxley versus Roddy.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And then
Hey, is
Mo
Roddy ever gonna join the Death Riders, or is that just my pipe dream?
It might be a pipe dream. I don't know. We'll
Okay.
see. We'll see what kind of form it takes because with Moxley gets booted out like so many people expect. They need a leader, I think.
But that's not him either.
Right,
Roddy's
yeah.
not, yeah.
Yeah, so it feels like something may be coming there. I don't know. I don't. I just realized that Daniel Garcia is not in this tournament this year.
He's not in this tournament.
Interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing him maybe in that Castagnoli spot, but we'll see what's going on with old DG. Let's see. And then Moxley gets Masca Dorada, a match that I now am like saying that out loud. I kind of really am interested in seeing.
Yeah, very, very interested in seeing that. Yes.
Let's see. Claudio versus Orange Cassidy. I feel like we've seen that a lot.
In the last 20 years, yeah, just any Chikara tape too. I'm all set. I'm all set.
Claudio versus Roddy. Yeah.
Yep.
Then Claudio versus Masca Dorada. Should be fine. Feels like a collision match.
Yeah, that feels like the Claudio shows how good is it basing for 15 minutes kind of match.
Yeah, I feel like the Blue League is going to be a lot of collision just because some of these we've seen a lot. And they're going to reserve some, like maybe Takeshita versus Moxley or something like that for the big show. That's just my guess. Let's see. Claudia versus, did I go over that? Claudia versus, yeah. So Orange. So I said Claudia versus Dorada, right?
Yeah, we did. Okay. We just did that one, yeah.
And then, so Cassidy versus Roddy Strong. I feel like we've seen that before. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's a inter, sorry, it's an inter conglomeration match, but I feel like we've seen that in some form or fashion. And then Orange Cassidy versus Moscow Dorado, which could be strangely worth watching. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I think that will be very fun and a lot of like winking and smiling.
Yeah. And then finally, Roddy versus Moscow Dorado.
Yes. Yes. Roddy versus guys like that are the best. It's the best.
Yeah. All right. So then I believe it is the same rules as last year, where it is mm-hmm. going to be the winner of the Gold League basically the top two of the Gold League versus the top two of the Blue League, like two matches at World's End, one gold, like one versus one gold versus two blue and vice versa. Yeah. Who do you think are a final four from this group?
Final four from this group. So it's Okada. It's Takeshita for sure. So yep. Takeshita blue, Okada gold. Probably Fletcher gold, and then from the blue, man, who would the number two seed in the blue be? Is it going to be Claudio?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it. To me, it's like if you're not going to do any three way stuff, you know, because remember they had the three way final one year. If you just run it clean,
yeah,
it has to be. Okada, Fletcher, I think, Takeshita, and I think Moxley, unless there's some sort of angle where he maybe Moxley has to beat Claudio to win and he taps out again or something like that, and that leads into whatever happens at World's End, and that kind of leads to a split. I could see him, Tony Khan, doing Orange Cassidy.
Can you tell yourself a Dorada story? I think I could convince myself of that.
I think I'm going to go with Fletcher, Okada, Takeshita, and Orange Cassidy.
Ooh, okay. Talk to me about the Orange Cassidy of it all.
Because Tony Khan loves him. And sure. I think Moxley, I think he is going to not make it to the finals for that reason of it's going to lead in the storyline of him submitting or whatever, tapping out, and he's going to be ousted somewhere as part of this. Perhaps is the Death Rise return at that moment. I'm not sure. But I'm thinking that I could see, so you do Okada, you could do Okada versus Orange Cassidy, Fletcher versus Takeshita, and then Takeshita and Okada in the finals, and Takeshita wins the whole thing. And that's the end of the first chapter of the Okada versus Takeshita feud, in that Okada's been such an asshole to him this whole time. And then, but finally Takeshita gets his, he leaves the Don Callis family, and that's his coronation of this is the guy for 2026.
Yeah, that is, I think, the objectively correct outcome is to position him as the guy going into next year, and then figure out what to do with the rest of the Don Callis family. Figure out what that means for Okada and what that means for Fletcher. Does this splinter off? Does this become the NWO Wolfpack, like for real?
Yeah.
Where half the family splits? I certainly hope not. And I'm kind of mad that I put that out there into the world. But
yeah,
there's just so many of them, Josh. They are legion.
They are. They are. Well, so I could see. So, who's your final four? Who'd you commit to?
I would say Okada and Fletcher from the gold, and I'm going to say Takeshita and Claudio from the blue.
So your semifinals would be Okada versus Claudio and Fletcher versus Takeshita. Does that make sense?
Yep. And then same finals, same winner.
Yeah, I think Okada then goes to the Tokyo Dome and does the final match with Tanahashi. And then he could just take a month off from AEW if you want to. He's been on like a run. So unless you're going to go right back to him and Takeshita, you could do a thing where Takeshita just has to run through the whole Don Callis family, you know, and then Okada eventually returns at the end to challenge her probably at like Revolution or something, unless they add a pay-per-view in January, February, which I don't think is going to happen at this point. And then that could be your big rematch for Revolution. Takeshita wins that still, and then you kind of figure out what to do with Okada at that point. But yeah, I think the end goal out of all this has to be Takeshita is now this puts him on the top shelf of this is one of your new pillars, one of your new guys, and this coronates it because he beat one of the best out there.
Yeah, and then they're positioned well, really well next year with Swerve back, Fletcher at the top of the card, Takeshita at the top of the card, Paige is still there. You know, say Kevin Knight breaks out. You have a lot of pieces that you can move around into different places, and you can always just put Okada into the world title scene. He's kind of existed as this entity to himself, even inside of the Don Callis family. But there's no reason that he can't just be somebody that just says, hey, I would like a world title shot because I'm Kazuchika Okada. And then he gets one.
Yep.
And off you go.
Yeah. That's a benefit of being a made guy. And that's what you want, right? Is you want people that, you know, if they lose, you just give them a little bit of time away and then they can get right back in the mix. I mean, Fletcher losing the TNT title, no one's clamoring to say, oh, he's going to get right back in that hunt for the TNT title. Everyone's like ready to elevate up. And he said, it's good in that promo Full Gear, he said, that's all right. I have my eyes on something bigger now. It's good. It's like, okay, he's a heel. He's supposed to be like, I don't care about this. Now I'm going for this. And that just elevates him up. And that's a good thing.
He's a case study on how to do something the right way. They took a year to build this guy up. And honestly, they kind of hit every major checkpoint and they did it well. And look at him now. Obviously, he has a lot to, but you have proof of concept to do this with kind of whoever you want in the future.
Yeah, he lost a lot. Remember, he lost a lot in that early run, especially when Davis got hurt. He was just like, okay, they're going to, and he put him in against a ton of guys and he lost a lot, but they did it in a way where it wasn't like like the Bryan Danielson, the irony of him losing or just all this. He was just losing because it wasn't his time. And now, to your point, look at him now after this last year. They got someone now, and they got someone that could be really in the mix at the top and Baz a top guy for as long as they want, 5, 6 years, whatever, you know?
He's 26,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Also, did you see the ESPN like 30 under 30 wrestlers list that came out?
No, when did that come out?
That came out, I think it came out yesterday, and there was a lot of discourse, as there always is, around lists. They had like Dom Mysterio is number one, mm-hmm. which is a take, and is an opinion. But Fletcher was too low on that list. Any list that is of people under 30 that doesn't have him as like lowest number three is a hard list to take super seriously.
Yeah, yeah, as they always are. What is there anyone else on this? Were you surprised wasn't included? I, as I look at this, I think Garcia is one I'm surprised a little bit, but also no Bandido in here. I'm bummed that he wasn't in this, but I understand. I would have liked to see him in this, but anyone else in there that you would have been like, I'd like to take out this person and insert this person instead?
The Garcia piece of it kind of makes sense now that we're talking about it. He loses a lot, and he probably would have lost a lot in this. And if they didn't have plans for him to do well, keep him out of it. See if he can get some momentum going outside of it. You mentioned Bandido. Brody King is always somebody that I would have liked to have seen in it. I also think it would have been really cool to see someone like Swerve in this. Now that he is full-time main event, top two or three guy in the company, coming back from something, a significant injury to do something like this, I thought would be cool, but it seems like they have plans other than that for him.
Yeah, yeah, certainly do.
So he's gigantic now.
Yes.
Physically so large. There was an interview where he was talking about how much he has to eat. And I'm like, oh, it's food? Okay, sure. That's what you're consuming is food.
It's all food. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts on the Continental Classic?
Am I being a prisoner of the moment when I say that this is probably the best lineup they've had since they've been running this in terms of just the amount of talent?
Yeah, I'd have to look at the other lineups, but I mean, you have a former world champion. You have Guys, I've held plenty of titles in AEW. Of course, former IWGP World Champion in Okada. You have Fletcher, who's held the title. You've had Pac, who's held various titles. Darby has held the TNT title. He's kind of a fixture. Cassie's a fixture. Yeah, I think Dorada's inclusion is an interesting one and a fun wrinkle. So yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, the fact that Tony Khan can go back to what worked and what didn't in previous tournaments, I think is certainly giving him a little bit more excitement here and probably more confidence in saying that he's putting in an Okada and a Fletcher and a Kesha and Moxley and so on. No, some of these guys are going to have to lose at some point. And I think everything's kind of leading to several kind of storylines in this whole Death Riders thing with Moxley and that group, the Okada Takeshita one, Fletcher kind of in that mix as well. And yeah, I think there's some intrigue there. And yeah, I mean, Darby is a he's a dark horse. It's possible he'd be my one dark horse, I guess, in the Gold League for being a runner up or a semifinalist or whatever. I think there is a possibility there, but I think how we had it laid out would be, to me, would make way more sense if you're trying to, again, the top shelf guys and kind of keep them there. I think that would make more sense. Anything that does not, if for some reason this does not come out of this, injuries aside, Takeshita versus Okada in the finals, I think it's a failure, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be a big head scratch if that is not where we wind up.
Right.
We went through all of the individual matches, Josh. Which one of those permutations are you most excited about seeing?
Like which match specifically?
Yeah. So, and we talked about all, we did yes, no, yes, no. Which one in either league has your attention the most?
I think the one that's I think Fletcher and Okada I'm interested in a lot. Yeah, I think I'm interested in Fletcher Okada quite a bit. Takeshita and Moxley, I also am in. Those are the four. Those are the two matches I'm most the most interested in. Takeshita Dorada could be pretty good. Moxley Dorada, I'm strangely looking at that, and I'm just like, I'm really fascinated with seeing this. Yeah, I would say I would say in the Gold League probably Okada Fletcher, and in the Blue League I'd go with Takeshita Moxley with Takeshita Dorada like a like right behind it.
Okay.
Yeah, how about you?
Kevin Knight and Pac is something that I'm
Yeah.
really excited about. It's just maybe because they're right next to each other on the list that I'm reading, but I kind of can't get it out of my head. And then I would say Moxley and Dorada for me as well. That is just firing off some chemicals in my brain. So,
I think Pac and Fletcher is going to be pretty great. I think those two are going to beat the shit out of each other for almost 20 minutes, right?
there's gonna be some DDTs in that that look hellacious.
Yeah, I think that's I feel like that's going to be like a dynamite main event or so. And I think it's that builds where you're like, oh, why is this in the main event? But then when you see it, it's going to be like, holy shit, that's really good.
Yeah, I am excited to see Pac with no interference in his matches.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, there's no interference, none of that stuff. So that's a great point, especially with the Death Rider stuff and all that. No, you to come. Yeah, it, that's a good call. That's a very good call, and I think it's going to add to this too.
I'm excited. I think this is going to be a good one.
It is. It should be. Yeah. So it kicks off on Wednesday on Dynamite and runs throughout the course of yeah the end of November all through the end of December and. Ring in the holidays with AEW. And did you see the holiday, all the changes of the schedule and all that stuff? We got Christmas Collision. I think some shows running at like 2:30 in the afternoon, some are running earlier, running late. So I would check your local listings, as they say, for your AEW action over the next plus month. And they're also running earlier in the afternoon to go head to head with Saturday night's main event, John Cena's final match.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, the Massachusetts boy finally going into retirement, going into mothballs. Until the Saudis pull out $100 million and say, come back, John. Come back,
Oh,
John.
and he will be there.
He'll
Make no
be there.
mistake.
He'll
I'll
be
be
there with
there.
that shirt on and all that stuff. He'll be there. Well, Mike, I appreciate jumping on with on short notice. Quick plugs before you go.
Check out the site. Check out my columns on the site. I'll have something up for the next pay-per-view in December. And thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Mike Della Camera, thanks so much.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Big thanks to Mike Della Camera for stopping by. And we'll talk to him hopefully more in the future. So we recorded that on Tuesday, like early-ish afternoon. Since then, of course, some matches were announced for the Continental Classic. Things I wish we have known earlier on. So here's what we have as of, I'm recording this outro at 10:23 on Tuesday night. So announced already, a little bit of a surprise. They're going with Okada versus Fletcher in the Gold League. So I'm surprised that's going early on, but there we go. And also another match we're looking forward to a lot, Máscara Dorada against John Moxley is airing on Wednesday night as well. So those are two big matches as well. Darby Allin against Kevin Knight. And there's also a bout with Roddy Strong that has yet to be announced as I'm recording this, but he has been promised for Blue League action. So we don't know who he is going to face off against, but obviously you'll probably know by the time you're listening to this. But yeah, so Okada and Fletcher, Moxley and Dorada, Darby and Kevin Knight. So those are three fun matches already to kick off the tournament. And of course, Rye Strong will be in action as well. So yeah, how about that? I'm surprised they went early with the Fletcher Okada thing, but I guess they really want to start this thing off hot. In retrospect, I should have looked at what they started off with last year and see if it followed a pattern. But yeah, it should be a fun tournament, and I think my initial Blue League malaise has passed since talking to Mike and looking at this stuff, and everyone seems to be pretty excited about this. After we recorded, I listened to a few different podcasts and post-wrestling and so on, just kind of seeing what they thought about things. And yeah, everyone seems to be pretty excited overall. So again, this has to end in Konosuke Takeshita winning the whole thing. If he doesn't, I am very surprised. But as always with AEW, prepare to be surprised as what happened this past weekend at Full Gear. So I'm going to get out of here. Have a great, safe holiday week if you're celebrating here in the United States. If you're not, hey, celebrate anyway. Have one on me. And we'll be back on Friday with a brand new episode in the Year in Review series, the month of May. Warren Hayes joined me. We recorded that already, almost 2 hours. So you'll enjoy that. Some good content to get you through the weekend. There's January, February, March, April. I'm actually using my fingers to count those out. Those are already recorded and up available for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on WrestlingObserve.com. Absolutely free. If you're going to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just search for Wrestling Observer, and you'll get all those shows free, my shows anyway. And we're also doing a Black Friday sale. They'll be coming out, so if you're interested in subscribing and checking out some of the other stuff, be sure to do that as well. And again, they're free on the Wrestling Observer site as well. Just search for Josh Nason's Punch-Out or Josh Nason, the search bar. Those things should come up. If you have any problems, certainly let me know on Twitter or Blue Sky, JOSHNASON. I certainly appreciate the support. So we'll have one episode this week and another one next week. And we'll just keep going till we're all done. And occasional side affairs, as we did today with Mike Della Camera. So I'm going to get out of here. You've had a lot of choices. I'm tired. You have a lot of choices in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me or anyone on this fine network, WrestlingObserver.com. And until next time, insert catchphrase here.